If you have problems with balloons in church, you may exit now. It's kind of like maybe a throwback to when you were kids, but if you have problems with it, you can look at it different. These can be three balloons, or it could be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you can look at this however you want. But those are integral to trying to get the message across today. I say that because of the people in the first services.
Overcome evil with good. That's what's on the bulletin cover. And, you know, we kind of know that, but, you know, perhaps the passages today should be called, how do you actually do it? How do you actually overcome evil with good? That's a perplexing problem for all of us. We've actually got three characters in today's story, if you've noticed. They're all kind of, they fit together. Most of the times the passages fit together, and sometimes they don't, but today they really fit together well. We've got the first person who is, you sang coming up through the song? Moses. Yeah, Moses is the first person. The second one is Peter. Okay, it's all right. I'll forgo the questions. Moses, Peter, and actually the third person is Paul, but he's speaking about us today being here at St. Philip's. So the first person of the Old Testament reading is about Moses. What do you think Moses looked like?
Old? Okay, let's make Moses old. Okay. All right. We'll give him a couple of eyes, all right? How do we make him look old?
Beard.
Beard? What else? You can do whatever you want with him. What was what? Head covered?
Yeah.
How to do that? That's probably the best I can do there. So we got Moses. He's the first guy today. He's a great guy. But he's got some issues. If we can get him down. Yeah.
Moses is an interesting character. He's, a couple weeks ago, you know, we talked about him as being in the bulrushes. He's, you know, along the river, and he's a little kid who gets, you know, all the kids are getting killed, and he escapes, and he gets adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, and then brought up in the court of, you know, Pharaoh. And then the piece that's missing, which we didn't get in the readings, is that he exits, because they find out he's Hebrew, and he goes to the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he does something very, very interesting. He goes into sheep herding. So in this royal place, he goes down into just herding these sheep that are baa-baa-baaing all over the place. And one day, he goes close to the Mount of Horeb, which is the Mount of God. And he sees something up in the hills, and it looks like a bush that's burning. And we get the story of the burning bush, and it burns and burns, and he doesn't know what to do with it. So he eventually goes up that mountain all the way, and he looks at the bush and says, this is really different. This bush is just not burning. And while he's standing there, he hears this voice come out to him and says, Moses, Moses. Moses doesn't know what's going on, but it must be, you know, in my head. Moses, Moses. And then he stops and he says, here am I, I'm here. And then God says, don't come any closer. Remove your sandals, you're on holy ground. And then God tells Moses, I am the God of your father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I think at that point, Moses must have been really, really pleased. He's meeting the God of his fathers, and he's getting to see God face to face. What an honor, been introduced to God himself. And then God continues to talk, and he says, you know, I've seen the suffering of Israel, you know, down in Egypt, it's awful. And you know what? They need to be delivered. And he tells Moses, that he's going to be giving the people of Israel a land of milk and honey. It's going to be better than they've ever seen. And Moses, I think, was jumping up and down at this point. He said, finally, they're going to get released. And then God puts in the kicker. He says, to do this, I'm sending you. You can imagine what Moses was saying. No, not me. You've got thousands of other people. Not me. No, not me. I don't want to go. And so he gets really, introverted into himself, and he really looks at himself and says, I just haven't got the ability to do this. And so he says, no way, to God. And then Moses said, who am I to go? He challenges God, who am I to go? He says, I can't speak. And in the Hebrew, if you go back to the translation, it says, I got fat lips, which means I can't talk very well. I got fat lips. You can't send me. You have to have somebody who's really articulate. And then God corrects him and says, I'm going to go with you. So there's no excuse. Then Moses stops back a second. He says, well, if I go down there, I'm going to run into the Israelites, and they're going to ask me who you are. What's your name? So he's questioning God. Then true to God's nature, God kicks in the response, and he says, I am who I am. And in the Hebrew, if you look at the kal form of the verb, it says, I am becoming whom I'm becoming. Yeah, try to pin that one down. I'm becoming whom I'm becoming. It's like it's all over the place. And that's exactly who God is. So that probably threw Moses into a panic. Nothing would do for him. But God does not submit to Moses' whims. Moses was frightened, kind of like we always are. He wanted something solid to cling on to. He wanted a solid name. But he couldn't get one out of God. God doesn't take advice from us. Moses is going to overcome evil by following the directions and the mindset of God alone. No excuses, fat lip or not. Moses needed to die to his self-centeredness, to his resistance, to his pushback, and he needed to find himself in God. That's the way you overcome evil with good.
So Moses needs to die for us. We jumped just as good as the people did in the first 8 o'clock service. We're talking about death, dying to self. That was his whole self had to go. He no longer would become a shepherd. He no longer was going to do what he was doing. He was on a different journey because he died to what he thought he needed to do. He was sure he needed to do what he was doing. And God said, got something else for you.
So the next person we're talking about, which is connected here, is Peter.
Now, who do you think Peter is? What do you think Peter looks like?
A rock.
Ah, very, very good. You've got it. I'll make his mustache a rock, okay? We'll put him out there. I'm going to call him Rocky. Is that okay? Is that all right? Does he have eyes? Yeah, probably. What else should we put on? Anything? Was he happy? Kind of? Kind of sad? Jim, what do you think? Probably didn't have all of his teeth either. Yeah. So Peter comes along, and if you remember what happened last week, Peter gets elevated, and Jesus makes him the rock upon which he's going to build his church. Peter is that solid rock. And you know what probably happened after Jesus said, you're going to be the rock of the church? Guess where his needle went? Right on up. He went right up. I'm going to be the rock, man. I'm going to be the leader. Hey, I got it all together. Today is the lesson that that gets kind of corrected.
So, Peter becomes the rock of the church, and the gates of Hades wouldn't prevail against it. But that's kind of not a bad compliment. That's really pretty good. He became the know-it-all, and then suddenly he goes, when Jesus tells about his story of what's going to happen, how he's going to be killed, he's going to go to Jerusalem, then suddenly Peter pops up and he says, that's not going to happen to you. That's never going to happen to you. Never. And then Jesus gives Peter a reality check and he says, get behind me, Satan. Pretty strong words. You're a stumbling block, or in the Hebrew, you're a stumbling rock, a stumbling rock. You're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Remember, it would be about a couple weeks later that Peter would be the one that denies Jesus three times. So you see this rock suddenly go crashing down. You can imagine what that did to Peter. And then Jesus puts the words that strike fear into his heart and our hearts too, when he says, if any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Christianity is always about death and resurrection. You have to die first. And we think we got to do a little bit of death. You know, we all can do a little bit of death or give a few different things up. But death is absolutely 100% gone. You got to do all of it or you don't die. You hang on to something. You keep clinging on to it. And that has to do with a lot of our preconceived notions about life, is that we think we're going to live to a certain age and then we don't. We think that the church is about something, and then we find out it's not. We think that the service about something, we've got it all planned out, and then it's not. It's like God says, I'm going to be whom I'm going to be. I am whom I am. And so we get out of that control mood, and we've got to move back. And Peter needs to lose his life in order to find God, which he eventually does. He eventually finds it.
So, goodbye, Peter. Dies to himself. Two down. Now, the question is, St. Philip's. So, who wants to put the face on St. Philip's? What do you want?
Happy.
Happy? Okay, we can make happy. Real happy. Hello. Yeah, that's better. Okay. What else do we want to put on St. Philip? What do you want to look like? Just happy. Perfect? Just perfect. Okay. Happy? Perfect? No. It's what?
Not
perfect. You sure? Okay. Could be men or women. We've got to think about it a little bit. So the next question is, the person that addresses this is actually Paul. Paul in his epistle addresses St. Philip. Moses is down. Peter's down.
St. Philip's going to go the same way? I took a vote this morning. We had a divided vote in first service, so. Following God really means losing your life. It's giving up being a shepherd for Moses. For Peter, it was giving up his arrogance. Both men needed to die. at St. Philip's. What does it mean to die to yourself? That's the question. You've all got preconceived notions of how you're going to live life. And then suddenly Jesus comes through, actually starts at your baptism. Jesus comes through and asks you to die to yourself. So St. Paul will say in a nutshell, and Sharon did a great job reading that, that's the whole essence of where the gospel goes today. Let love be genuine. You undo things by becoming genuine. You hate what is evil. You hold fast to what is good. You rejoice in hope. You're patient in suffering. You persevere in prayer. You extend hospitality to strangers. You bless those who persecute you. You live in harmony with one another. You don't claim to be wiser than who you are. Peter did that. You don't repay anyone evil for evil. And as far as it depends, you live peaceably with everybody. High standards, but something we can all embrace. Trying to do it's the hard part. Great ideals. Then Paul introduces this sobering reality check as to what happens. We don't feel quite so righteous when we seek revenge. Paul says, never revenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. If you want to know more on the revenge, it's in the fractal. How will we undo this? I won't get into that today. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Your enemies, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. It just, you got to lose yourself to do that because you really don't want to do that. That's about dying to yourself. It just doesn't make sense. I just want to get even. Only in dying to ourselves do we change. Three people, Moses died to himself, Peter, and the people of St. Philip's. They're all examples of what death is. The challenge are we ready to die to ourselves? And in balloon language, get that, what does it look like?
Doesn't quite look like that, does it? Looks different. The Christian looks different. It doesn't look like everybody else. It has a basis in the earth, and it goes all the way up to heaven, and that's the only relationship there is. In centering prayer, we see that. That's the relationship, and we live with that all the time. So that's where we start, with that key relationship, up and down. And then a lot of people, they get part of it. They love their neighbors, they love their friends, they love their relatives, most of them that is. And so they have kind of like a one-sided extension. But to die to yourself means you have to love everybody, the ones you don't like. You gotta do that. So it's a two-sided one, loving the people you love and loving those you don't love. And when that comes together, you actually end up with a cross. That's what the cross is about. It's about keeping that connection between you and God and also extending love to those you know and probably to those you hate. So that's the new Christian. So actually, the old people can die. You know what? I think I lost my little pen. So I guess you're going to survive. I guess St. Philip's survives today. I've got it here, but I won't. So actually, you need to look different. And that's the essence of what today's reading is. You have to die to yourself and look different. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.